It's my intention to read the scripture portion for the day twice. One in the English Standard Version, which was, you know, the result of an extensive translation team's work in recent years, and it's really, really good. And the other is from my favorite translation of the Bible, the Living Bible. Now, I gotta explain to you why it's my favorite. You know what we like, and we like what we know. Isn't that true? This is the text that my dad chose for us to read around the table at the Brower household, mom and dad and six kids, every day. When we had food on the table, we opened the bread of life. Simple rule. And what a gracious gift that was. So I came to faith at a very early age, and when I made my adult commitment to Christ, when I came forward, so to speak, when I responded to an invitation to commit my life to Jesus Christ, it was in the fall of 1978, and I was 14 years old, and I began to read this text, and the words just leapt off of the page. It was as though the Spirit had filled me for understanding the scripture. Today we're reading in Colossians 3, and he's in this particular paraphrase, it says, well, you know, in a more traditional version, he says, therefore there is no Greek or Jew, there is no barbarian, Scythian, there's no slave or free man, there's only Christ and him in this, in all. Now, as a 10-year-old, do you know what a Scythian is? Now, just say no. That's the right answer. You kind of have an idea what a barbarian is. Even if I said, do you know what a Greek is? You were like, I have kind of an understanding of that, but not as a 9-year-old. But listen how it puts it in this paraphrase. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. You know what they've done? They just put into plain English what Paul was saying to those people 2,000 years ago that they immediately understood, but that we're so far removed from that we're like, we're not really sure what all that means. So again, in this new life that we have in Christ, nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and he is equally available to all. Isn't that just plain? But let me explain to you briefly why my dad chose this translation. So, English was not the first language of my mother or my father, but it was always my father's dream to immigrate to Canada. For him, Canada was the land flowing with milk and honey. And by hook or by crook, after he finished his military service in the Dutch military in 1953, he was going to go to Canada. So he convinced my mom that this was a good idea. They were dating at the time. She got engaged. I think my mom was secretly hoping that my dad would actually not do it, and that she was very tied to her family of mom and dad and 12 kids. But, oh, my dad was utterly serious. So in 1954, he suggested, before they got married, now we need to take some English lessons. Okay, so my dad was very serious about that. Here's just a little aside. My dad had a little bit of a leg up on English comprehension because after his horrific concentration camp experience during the Second World War, in which he almost died, the Red Cross took him and his family to what is now Sri Lanka, Ceylon, and they were placed in a displaced persons camp for 6 months. They couldn't send him back to the Netherlands because it was still too chaotic there. But my dad said every day, he and his next younger brother, who eventually became a pastor, they would go and talk to the English guards every day. So he kind of got a leg up on the whole English thing. He was probably about 15 years old at the time. So they moved to Canada, and my dad gets a KJV, which is like the standard, you know, edition, the authorized edition. And as was his habit, opened the Word and read it. And my mom said she laughed her guts out. She thought it was a big joke. She didn't understand one word of it. And she's like, what? What are you trying to do? What's the purpose? Why aren't we reading it in Dutch? And he's like, we're in Canada now. And we're going to learn English. And this is how we're going to do it. Well, they struggled. Can you imagine reading the KJV and getting anything out of it? Especially my mom, who didn't know a word. And my dad, barely, you know, barely fluent in the language. So my dad was always looking for a translation that was rich and it was fresh and that was easily accessible and it was understandable. So when this Living Bible came out, he came upon it and he's like, that's the one. And so, again, we like what we know what we like. That particular paraphrase, as some people call it, is somehow, it's bound to my heart as the word that I heard as a kid every day. And then as I walked in the fullness of the Spirit and began to understand more of what he was saying, those words leapt right off the page. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand up, and we're going to read it in the ESV, the text for today. Okay? So let's do that. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's switching now. This is the halfway mark in this book, okay? Halfway mark. And he spent a lot of time talking about the foundation of Christ and who Christ is. And then he starts this section of the letter, Colossians 3. There are four chapters, so it's right in the middle with verse 1. If then, okay? So based on all the things that I have told you, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if you have a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, please be seated. And now we're going to read it for a second time in the Living Translation. Since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and the rich joys of heaven, where he sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven, with Christ, with God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with him and you will share in all of His glory. Away then with sinful earthly things. Deaden the evil desires lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity or lust, shameful desires. Don't worship the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger is upon those who do such things. Now, you used to do them when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger and hatred and cursing and dirty language. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all of its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now, it is dead and gone. You are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Jesus, who created this new life within you. In this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is unimportant. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters, and He is equally available to all. Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of His deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Most of all, let love guide your life, for then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of heart which comes from Christ be always present in your hearts and in your lives, for this is your responsibility and it is your privilege as members of His body. And always be thankful. Always be thankful. I had a wonderful time preparing for my message this week, and it was a beautiful time of reading commentaries and delving into the Word. And I have a sermon prepared for you here, but I am not going to deliver it. This morning I read that our president is calling a national day of prayer for this country in light of the pandemic. And I would add, we have brothers and sisters all across the world, some of whom are gathering, some of whom are not gathering, depending in the nation that they're in. And we should be praying for not just our own country, although that is a priority for us and we are living in it and we're concerned, but we should be praying about the fact that this is a pandemic and that many, many people are going to be affected by it. So I want us to have a prayer meeting. It is appropriate for us to spend this next 20 minutes in an extended time of corporate prayer.